Hey guys, welcome to Beaver Bites. My name is Miguel, and I'm joined by Lars Gunderson. Lars and I are two Corvallis locals here who are diving into the food culture in Corvallis in regards to what restaurants, what local places Corvallis has to offer that sells food and that's just enjoyable by everyone in the community. Now, Lars, we're a new podcast, and this is our first episode. Could you briefly describe what Beaver Bites is and kind of just where it began?
Yeah, it all started when we went out with our friends to Little Morocco in downtown Corvallis. We were enjoying their really unique food and having a lot of fun with it, just breaking down the flavoring and what we thought of it and making some of our friends chuckle at just how much we were getting into it. So we thought, hey, this is fun. Why not make a podcast out of it? So, yeah, we made it happen. Here we are recording our first episode.
Yeah, and definitely it's been something fun so far. I was actually pretty excited about going out, doing this. It was a little like, all right, like how do we go about this? How do we mess around with this? But today was fun. Today we went to three different places, and now we're just hoping to share with you guys, you know, what we found out about those places and what our impressions were about the food that was there. Now, Lars, before we begin, before we move on, let's just kind of introduce ourselves so people don't feel like they're talking to somebody they completely just don't know. Mm-hmm. So, Lars, you want to share a little bit about you?
My name's Lars, as has been established. But, yeah, I'm a recent OSU graduate. I spent 4 years there getting my bachelor's in math, played around in grad school for a little bit, and now I'm just working in the community and having a lot of fun here. I think I'm wanted to settle down and figure out where life takes me here. So, yeah, what about you, Miguel?
Yeah, I'm still currently a student here at Oregon State. I'm down to my last year. I'm majoring in kinesiology. The hope is, one, graduate in June. Two, find a job kind of relating to personal training. That's just kind of something I've always wanted to do. But outside of that, other places you might catch me are at medical clinics. I'm a Spanish interpreter, so I do that when I'm not in school or when I don't have other responsibilities to attend to, but that's really what I do currently in the community. But moving forward, so we want to just kind of dive into this, but before that, we just want to let you guys know that Beaver Bites is kind of a episode or podcast that gets released every other week, so not every week, because that would be really tiring for us. But So if you're listening and if, you know, you find this something, you know, that catches your interest, you know, just be expecting that not every week, but every other week. Also, it'd be kind of harsh on our bank accounts to be going to three different places every week. But just so you guys know, moving ahead. So the way we like to do this podcast is we're breaking it down into three segments. So the first segment is miscellaneous, which means basically we're going to a place that's not really a restaurant. So what categorizes under that is coffee shops, Jamba Juice, 7-Eleven. They still sell food, but it's not exactly a restaurant. Next category is local. So we're talking about local restaurants here. We're talking about your Broken Yolk. We're talking about your Coriander. We're talking about places that, you know, are just found in Corvallis and are unique to Corvallis. And then the other one is franchise. And franchise is just big-time corporation chains, McDonald's, Burger King, Arby's, etc., all that fun stuff. So first one we're going to hit up right now is miscellaneous. So Lars, where did we go for miscellaneous?
Yeah, we started out, had an early morning. It was about 7:30 by the time we got out there. We went to Imagine Coffee in Southwest Corvallis, out in the direction of Philomath. It's out by that Bi-Mart and Dutch Bros out there. It's a place we've each been there a few times. Haven't been a ton, but we really like it and just wanted to have that be one of our first stops.
I just want to get your first takes on your impressions when you got there, on how it kind of went today, what you saw, what you noticed, what you thought was unique about that place, what kind of just stood out.
Yeah. It was kind of a cool start. Like, I've always, whenever I've gone there in the past, I've noticed a sign on my way in the door that says you get, I think it's 25 cents off if you park at Bi-Mart. So pull into the parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they have this deal if we park at Bi-Mart. Miguel hops out, checks the sign, and we pull around, go park at Bi-Mart. Yeah, we're getting our discount. Then head in, and while we're taking our orders, got a little awkward. The guy was not quite so outgoing, but, you know, that's all right. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way at first, if I'm being honest, but he made up for it with three great drinks that he made, so I'm happy.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, just one, the walk from Bi-Mart to Imagine Coffee is not terrible. I can see it not being worth it if it's pouring down rain or just awful conditions outside, but it's definitely not a bad walk. It's what, maybe a minute, if anything, to get there. You know, so, I mean, if you want 25 cents off, college students out there, that's your little secret there. It's in the front door, too, so it's not really a secret. Yeah. But, Lars, when we got there, we ordered three separate beverages. So we ordered a London Fog. We had a dark chocolate mocha there. And we also had, let's see if I can read my own handwriting here.
Hot chocolate with whipped cream.
A hot chocolate with whipped cream. That's right.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of want your take on, you know, initial impressions about those.
Yeah. I really liked the presentation that stood out to me. We're just sitting there chilling, drawing on the little pieces of paper they have on the table. They have colored pencils for you and everything. Yeah, it was just a really nice environment. We're chilling, hanging out, and here he comes with this two big black mugs, and I was just excited from the second I saw him. His was Miguel, yours was totally towering with whipped cream. I wanted to dig into that stuff, and brought him in, and just was excited from the start. I was a little nervous because just a plain dark chocolate mocha is, you know, starting my coffee experience on Dutch Bros, I was wondering if it was going to be a little plain, but man, those are some good drinks.
Yeah, they're definitely good drinks. They were definitely well done, and I was surprised by one of them, but just the way they bring you that service to your table is pretty awesome. Also, the fun part was every table had like this like long sheet of white paper with like color pencils, a sharpener, so you could just be drawing, you know, while you're waiting. I think that's because this coffee shop is just super art oriented. Like if you walk in, you see like art displayed on the walls, you see a stage where you can actually have local, you know, local people or even people outside of the community come and perform there. Mm-hmm. So it's very art oriented, but it's a coffee shop, you know, and we also saw like a book exchange program, you know, like on the way out. And I thought that was really cool. So that just goes to show like, not only is this like your typical coffee shop, but this is a coffee shop that wants to connect with the community.
Yeah.
This is a coffee shop that, you know, loves art, you know, wants to see what Corvallis has to offer in regards to art. You know, I know they host events there too. And wasn't there a live performance you were kind of like looking up on their webpage?
Yeah, it's actually going to be happening in a couple hours here. I know it's too late for you guys by the time you're listening to this to go check it out. But yeah, there was a concert. I could look it up again, but yeah, there's live music happening just tonight, just the night that we happen to be talking about it. So I'm guessing they're filled up pretty often. That's what the guy was talking about. But yeah, on the note of their just the different things they have, it really struck me how intentional they were and how considerate they were. Like, you know, it's really easy to just think of, okay, what's in a coffee shop? Well, you need your seats, your tables, you know, this and that. But they had some stuff you wouldn't expect. That book exchange you talked about, and then they even had a bike pump by the door.
Oh, yeah, they had that bike pump.
Yeah, so if you choose to ride your bike in, you get a flat tire or something, they've got you taken care of. So you can really tell that the owners have put a lot of thought and intentionality into putting it all together. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, yeah. And a little bit of background info, just before we start talking about the actual drinks themselves, is so this is a coffee shop that's owned by multiple owners. You know, and, you know, there's an article I found of the Gazette Times, and I'll put that on our Facebook page, and we'll talk about a little bit more about our social media a little bit later in this podcast, but I'll add that to our Facebook page, and it's by the Gazette Times, but basically they're all friends. And they all decided to, you know, start this coffee shop, you know, that used to be this building used to be a gym. And so they just decided to make it, you know, a coffee shop. And it looks super, good, super artsy, super welcoming, super like, man, if I want to do stuff with the community, this is a place I could go to, you know? But just so you guys know, this place is recently new, in regards to other businesses. They're actually only been open since around 2011. I don't have the exact date, but I am hoping to hear back from their owner so I can schedule an interview with them and find out more. Once that happens, I'll be more than welcome to share that with you guys so you guys can know more about this place. But yeah, it's definitely connects the community. And also if any musicians are out there or have, you know, or want to do, you know, art oriented stuff in a place, you know, all you need to do is contact their owner, talk with them. They'll work it out with you. They'll schedule something with you if they have something available, and they'll get you plugged in. So super awesome place, super community oriented, not just your typical coffee shop. Yeah. Now,
that was super cool. We're just two random guys walking in and just casually asking them like, oh, you have live music here? Like,
yeah.
What kinds of people? And then the guy's just like, oh, yeah, you can leave your name and number and get things booked. It's pretty high demand, but she'll give you a call and talk to you. We're just the two guys. He doesn't even know if we play music.
Yeah, and I'm just really curious to know whether she'll call back or not. They'll just really go to show, you know, dang, this is an ownership that they have that, you know, really cares about, you know, connecting the community and, you know, bringing them in there. But it's just unique. It's a unique place. You're definitely not going to find another coffee shop like that. It's not a replicated coffee shop like, you know, Dutch Bros or, you know, all that stuff. It's just, man, it's its own thing. Yeah. But let's dive into those drinks, Lars.
Oh, yeah.
Let's dive into those drinks. Let's see. First one we got on from the Miss... First one we got here is the London Fog. Ooh. Now, give me your initial thoughts about the actual drink and then the one you had there.
Yeah, so I've had London Fog actually there at Imagine Coffee several times. Every time I've gone, that's been my go-to. It's just a really good drink. I believe it's just, what is it, tea, sweetener, and cream are the main ingredients, and I don't know what else they throw in there. But, I went in expecting a lot and definitely wasn't disappointed. It really struck me how well the different flavors were blended. Every drink I took, it's like, oh, there's the tea, and there's the cream, and there's the sweetness. And it wasn't like you could pick out each individual one, but they also were interplaying with each other really well, really getting that cooperation going to really add to the flavor. And I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. One of the words I used here was delicious.
Yeah.
It was, man, I could not stop sipping. Like, you would just sip it, and then once you were done sipping it, you're like, no, I need more of that in my mouth. Yeah. It's just like this nice tea, you know, just layered with like a cloud of like glory in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, man. And I got to give a shout out right now, Lars, to Chris Roth.
Ooh.
You know Chris Roth.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that actually got me into London Fogs. I don't forgot who showed it to him, but props to that guy too for showing Chris Roth the way.
Might have been Derek. Not sure.
It might have been Derek Manasco. But Chris Roth introduced me to the London Fog, and ever since then, I'm like, wow, this is another tea I can add to my arsenal. But this one in particular, it was a little bit more on the sweeter side than the ones I typically get. But it was just like, it was sweet enough to where it was still delicious and not like too sweet. And man, it was so good. I could not put it down.
You were cracking me up. Like, I liked it. Miguel loved it.
Yeah. No,
you had a reaction every time. Just all so delicious.
No, it was, awesome. Man, woo, it was good. Definitely. It's a top number one London Fog I've had.
Oh, nice.
But it would probably be, that one particularly would probably be the top three cups of tea, any kind of tea I've ever had.
Nice.
It was that delicious. It was, awesome. Man, well done. So that one I was actually surprised by how much better it could get compared to the ones I've had.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, you know, it wasn't the best experience I've had with it. Not that there was anything wrong with it, but it just was a little bit overly sweet for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that may have just been because I had just drank the whole mocha. That was what I had first. So then just all that sugar from the mocha and then more and more sweetness. I just wasn't quite feeling it on the same level as Miguel, but man, they really know how to make that drink. It's definitely worth checking out if you go.
Oh yeah, definitely. Then the next one we got going on here is the hot chocolate with whipped cream. Now, I know I drink most of it, but you did get to taste some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what about the hot chocolate right here? What'd you think about that?
Yeah. My first sip tasted a little bit watery to me. I might have only had the one sip. It was a really good flavor, though. Mm-hmm. Just maybe they added some water on the top to cool it down or something. That might have been what I was tasting, but... You know, I kind of had a similar impression with a different drink, and then it started to fill out a little bit more, so I really am not worried about that aspect. But just it was just a really, you can tell they were using really good ingredients and really putting care into it, and that whipped cream was fantastic, and I care about whipped cream, too. That's something my family likes to tease me about, because I can really make my way through a can of whipped cream.
You just pile it?
Yeah, yeah.
I got you.
Squirt it straight in my mouth, you know.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, personally, I'm not a whipped cream guy, but I did it in this occasion because I just wanted the full experience. I would agree it was on the watery side for me, too. However, I just thought it was pretty well balanced. It wasn't too chocolatey. It wasn't too, like, super watery, but it was just pretty good. It was just a solid, good... You know, cup of hot chocolate, you know, with whipped cream. You know, I would just say it's a good standard for hot chocolate. You know, and the whipped cream was fine, too. I mean, I don't hate it, but I usually don't put it on. That's where I'm at with whipped cream. You know, I'm not the can guy that just puts it in his mouth and, you know, I'm more like, I'm just have the hot chocolate. But it was a good beverage. Liked it. Oh, and the temperature... Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Didn't burn at all.
Did not burn my face at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, however, I will say for the London Fog, a little flaw, it's a little bit warm. Just a little bit.
To be fair, I think that's just kind of how tea goes. You need it a little bit hotter to get it to go.
I got you.
But, yeah, it definitely, you could feel it when you're drinking it. A little on the hot side, a little bit of burn to it.
Yeah. No, the temperature was... Oh, yeah. I think... For those of you who make hot chocolate, buy one of these and just look at the temperature. That's all I want you to focus on.
Bring a thermometer, stick it in there.
That's where the temperature has to be at for hot chocolate.
That's correct.
That's enjoyable, but not too cold. It's not lukewarm. It's just good, solid temperature.
Yeah.
You know, or just walk in there and ask them, hey, what temperature do you put your hot chocolate at? Because you guys are doing it right, you know.
Man, you know, with how intentional they are about things, I bet they would be able to tell you right away, oh, yep, this many degrees.
Oh, yeah. I bet they would tell you. Or they would probably even take the time to do it. But let's talk about this last one. The dark chocolate mocha.
Yeah, that was the one I was drinking. And really, it was... Very similar to the hot chocolate, just throw some coffee in there. I didn't get whipped cream, sadly. I was a little jealous of Miguel's whipped cream while I was drinking it. But it was just like the hot chocolate. My first drink tasted a little bit watery. I don't know if you had the same impression from your drink or two you had.
I can't really make a good judgment on that. Here's the thing. I'm not a coffee drinker. So I don't really know what to expect for coffee or what good coffee would look like. I just knew that I've had coffee before. And what I knew about this one, it's that it was tolerable for me. It wasn't like super bitter. And I just thought coffee was always made with a lot of water. I don't know. Cause isn't it just grounds and hot water going through it?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you get your water that is turned into coffee and then, maybe I think they might have added some water after the fact, too. You can kind of tell once you get the taste down, but I don't know. I might just be making that up. But it might have just been weaker coffee. I'm not completely sure what had that effect, but I just remember that first drink. I was thinking, oh, that's a little watery. And then I had a sip of yours. I'm like, that's a little watery, too. But, yeah, that's the one I was talking about, where as I went through it, it just really filled out and got, you know, quarter way down the cup, and just every sip was wonderful after that. Just really great balance of the sweetness with the coffee, and just like with that London Fog, all the flavors meshing together, and you can pick out each one, but also they work together well. I kind of want to say that's the best mocha I've had, which I've had a lot of mochas, so I was really impressed by it.
Okay. I mean, for me, it gets a pass. I just don't drink coffee. I don't mess with it too much. For me, it was drinkable, but it's not like I would go in there and order the mocha. It's fine for you coffee drinkers. I mean, you can carve your own opinion out of that, or, you know, take Lars's word for it. But I mean, all in all three drinks solid. Just great.
Yeah.
Good place to buy coffee. Man,
one thing I remember about that mocha was the last two sips actually were just different from the rest. It was like all the sweetness and chocolatiness had settled to the bottom.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for some of you, that might be a turnoff. For me, I really like sugary, sweet things. So it just kind of tasted like a mix of like some kind of chocolate syrup with maybe a little bit of hot chocolate powder going on. It was kind of a fun way to finish the drink, though. But, you know, something to keep in mind when you're drinking it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you've heard it, guys. I mean, Lars enjoys the mocha. He's a normal coffee drinker, so I trust him. Or at least I would give the drink a chance.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
I'm not going to promise you it'll be your favorite one ever, but, you know, good mocha.
Yeah. And just a ratcha. Whoa. Words.
Just a ratcha.
Just a ratcha. Yeah, no. Just to wrap up, imagine coffee. I just want to finish up with, you know, just saying, okay, this place, you know, if you're interested, you know, if you want to get connected, just make your way there. You guys can talk to, you know, whoever is, you know, helping you out, customer service. If you want to know more info about it, you know, they're more than welcome to lead you in the right direction, especially if you want to do a live performance there, or if you want to get involved in art there. You know, great place overall. Great experience. Just awesome.
Go ahead. Yeah, there was one more thing I really wanted to mention. I pulled up their website while we were sitting in there, and they one of the things they feature when you're on their about screen is the list of charities that they donate to. And actually found out from the guy that they run it as a nonprofit. So every cup you drink, that the proceeds of that are going into charities. They make sure to do local, national, and international ones. And if you want to know more about which ones they do, they have that full list on their website. I believe it was comprehensive there. But yeah, long list of different charities that they like.
Yeah. And that's just another good cause to be there. I mean, like I mentioned to you guys earlier, I'll be posting, hopefully, an interview if I can get it with this owner, you know, so you guys can find out more and get connected. I just think it's a really interesting place, and I'd recommend you guys go in there. If you really do go there, keep on going there. If you haven't gone there, give it a try. See what you think. You know, some of the drinks you recommended, give those a try too. But awesome place overall.
Yeah.
So, Lars, now we're going to move on to the franchise.
The franchise.
Section. Now, where did we go today, Lars?
Well, we went and had some breakfast at good old Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr., that's right. And before we get into this, I just want to talk about why it's called Carl's Jr. in the West, and why kind of in the other half of the country it's called Hardee's. Yeah. Now, I got kind of into it, you know, with my research, but, and I will post the link to our Facebook page, but basically, Carl's Jr. and Hardee's started out as two separate corporations, two separate companies. Carl's Jr. actually started as a hot dog stand in Los Angeles, but this was like in the 1900s, like early on in the 1900s.
1941, I think.
1941, so... Yeah. You know, that's quite a while. But Hardee's started out a little bit later, and they're more from the North Carolina area. And basically, they both found success. Carl's Jr. actually acquired Hardee's in 1997. And that's why you guys see the same logo. And the reason they kept the names the same was because they didn't want to mess up their clientele that was already going there, that was already being faithful to that place. And after that 1997 acquisition, Carl's Jr. did make Hardee's look and have the same stuff as Carl's Jr. However, recently, Carl's Jr. has taken another approach with this. So they're actually going to give Hardee's their own feel. They're going to give it more of that Southern soul food feel. And Carl's Jr., the way they described it in an article, and I'm going to now post this too on the Facebook page, is they want to give it that bold feel out here in the West. So they're still going to be under the same ownership, but they're going to have a different feel moving forward. And this is something that was just, you know, recent that they decided in 2018 to just go that route, because in the last 20 years, they've been trying to replicate Hardee's and Carl's Jr. as kind of the same, you know, restaurant. And also, fun fact is you'll notice that at Carl's Jr., you will see green burrito associated with it. And at Hardee's, you would see red burrito associated with it. And I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because even with the burrito thing, I don't even know if red and green burrito were a separate company, but there's a reason why they kept them separate. And there's not too much information right now about what's going to happen to green burrito and red burrito, but that's just kind of a little bit of background with Carl's Jr.'s and Hardee's. And I just thought that was super interesting, super fun, you know, something for you guys to know. But yeah. let's dive in. Lars.
Quick note on that Carl's Jr. versus Hardee's thing. I think that's a really cool decision they're making, because I've never been to a Hardee's personally, not under that name. And I just think if I'm in some town visiting and I see a Hardee's on the side of the road and I stop there and it's exactly the same as Carl's Jr., I might be a little bit sad about that, a little disappointed that it wasn't something interesting. So I think having those two different feels is a really cool decision, so that when people are traveling, they can notice that difference and have that little bit of experience to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for sure. What I was reading too is there's a loyalty behind the brand.
Oh, yeah.
So people stay loyal to, you know, their own brand. And what, you know, what Carl's Jr. was kind of thinking was, hey, let's, you know, just for the sake of our clientele and, you know, to promote more business, let's just give it a different feel. Let's give the people what they're used to, what they had, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they're just going to, you know, keep Carl's Jr. and keep Hardee's, you know, same ownership, but just different approach for business. So that is interesting. That is cool. I'd be interesting to see how that turns out. I hope to visit a Hardee's. And I'm pretty sure I'll make my way to the Midwest here in the next few months. But just trying a Hardee's, I just want to see the difference. Maybe a food difference, too. Maybe the food tastes different. But
maybe.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. But let's dive in. We had breakfast today. We had sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. We had the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. We had the country breakfast burrito. Actually, it was called the Big Country.
Big country breakfast burrito.
And then we had hash rounds. Yeah. Now, Lars, tell me a little bit about the biscuits. What did we kind of see there?
Yeah, the main thing we both agreed on was there was a lot of biscuit going on. Couldn't really taste much of the stuff inside. It was just a little overwhelming on the biscuit. You know, especially with that bacon one where, you know, there's not as much bacon as there is sausage. Really, all the main flavors we were getting were biscuit and cheese, maybe a little bit. I was getting some of the texture of bacon, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I could have used maybe some thinner biscuits or a little more filling, and I think that would have really helped the taste a lot. Yeah, that was the main thing. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree for the most part. I think the biscuit was just really thick and overwhelming to enjoy the sandwich as a whole. What was interesting is, so we were like splitting it. Don't think we were both individually eating all these items. We were just splitting it in half. But I used a plastic knife to cut the biscuit. The concerning part was it was cut perfectly in half, which goes to show how like rough the outside of the biscuit is and how not so fresh the ingredients are.
There wasn't really much squish going on there.
Right. And so I would agree. The bacon, You could taste a little bit of it, but nothing really there. Eggs were bland. I bit off a piece of the egg. It was bland. Definitely not what eggs should taste like. Yeah. Really, the cheese was the only thing kind of helping out there.
Yeah.
And then and that's the really sausage.
Thin cut. Like,
yeah.
Just that. My cousin called it plastic cheese when she was a kid. It's just the Kraft slices. It wasn't really much to it.
Right. And the sausage was a little bit better, but at the same time, it wasn't like, I don't know. It just as a biscuit sandwich, you're just tasting a lot of biscuit with a little bit of something just hanging in there. And then I could taste the sodium a lot in it too, which is a little, you know. So probably not the best thing we had that morning. I'm not going to lie. I do occasionally have biscuits just because that's the easiest thing to pick up work when I haven't eaten breakfast because I'm just starving. And it's a good deal. It's 2 for $4.
I mean, yeah.
You can get two of them for $4. So
2 for $4, like, and, you know, those things will fill you up too. I don't think that the value in that food is really in the quality. It's, you know, it's fast food. But really, I think you're getting some good bang for your buck on that. If you're running late for work, need to pick something up real quick, and just to fill you up and keep through the day, I really think it'll do the job. So for what it is, I'd still, you know, I wouldn't say you shouldn't have it. Just don't be prepared for something great.
Right, right. And, I mean, it's kind of what it is. I mean, it's fast food.
Yeah.
it's going to happen. But, I mean, compared to the Big Country Burrito. Now, that was a little bit different because they had a thin tortilla, and then they had a bunch of stuff going on there. They had the ham, they had the gravy, they had the hash browns, or they call them the hash browns there. They had sausage, and they had egg in there too. And so it was just a different like mix of flavors. And then the gravy was surprisingly not too bad.
Yeah, it was some good gravy.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Yeah, so the burrito is a little bit different. I think that's more of a breakfast product that's kind of worth it if you're looking for taste versus how much you're going to spend.
Which I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, I think that was $4.99 for that big burrito. So you're definitely spending a little more for that one burrito. So.
Yeah, yeah. But it definitely, the taste quality is a little bit better versus just getting something a little bit cheaper and your palate's like, too much biscuit or, you know, too much of this. You know, burrito did a good job of having that diversity in flavors, which helps, you know, which helps. And so I enjoyed the burrito. I enjoyed the burrito. I don't know if I'd buy it again, but I enjoyed it. It's something I could eat.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I really did enjoy it. One thing I noticed was it was actually a lot of the same ingredients that we'd already experienced. You know, it had the same cheese, the same hash browns. It had, let's see, what else did it have? You mentioned ham. I don't remember that, but I believe you.
There was like little chunks of ham in there.
Okay.
Just like little chunks hidden.
Yeah, and the eggs were the same. But, you know, those ingredients were really better suited to a burrito, I thought, because the tortilla is a thinner wrapping. Wasn't getting overwhelmed by those thick biscuits.
Right.
So the more mild flavors, the more bland flavors really were kind of able to flourish a bit more. And could taste them a lot better, and I enjoyed them more on that front, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, and definitely the content in there was pretty well balanced. Like, it wasn't too much of something, too much of this ingredient. It was pretty well balanced, which helped.
Yeah.
Then the tortilla wasn't, like, thick, so that made it pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good burrito.
And then we had the hash rounds. Not hash browns, but hash rounds.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, hash rounds.
Okay.
Because they're circular. You know how they were like circular for us?
Yeah, like a, oh, shoot, how do you describe that? Kind of like a Baby Bell. You had those, the little cheese wheels.
Yeah. Like, kind of like one of those. Those, I mean, they're okay. I mean, they tasted like a little too well done hash brown for me. They definitely taste better without the ketchup.
Yeah.
The ketchup was... It wasn't right.
It was just normal Heinz ketchup, but there's something off with it.
It just didn't feel right with that mix of hash brown and ketchup in your mouth. It just wasn't really that enjoyable, so I just started to eat it without the ketchup.
Yeah.
But
I saw you taking a little taste of the ketchup. Did the ketchup taste fine by itself, or, like, was it... I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I'm really sensitive to high amounts of sugar and sodium. So I guess to me it was just like a little too sweet.
Yeah.
A little, I don't know.
That's fair.
It tastes like kind of like candy ketchup to me at some point. I was like, yeah, no, I'm just going to eat these things by themselves.
Yeah.
But they weren't bad. They're a fun little side to go with your breakfast. They don't taste awful. They just taste like a hash brown you left over the stove top a little bit too long, but still edible. That's what it tasted to me.
Yeah. They were tater tots. There's very little difference except shape.
Right.
I liked the crispy outside. I think they did a good job on that. When you're having them by themselves, I think they're pretty good. There wasn't really much to comment on. They were really kind of just hash browns.
Yeah, they were just there.
They were good.
They were just there.
I like hash browns.
Guys, like, what else do you want? I'm like, we'll take some hash browns. I don't know. Let's give those a try. But
yeah.
All in all, Carl's Jr., I just think it fits within the average fast food chain. Yeah. At least for the breakfast side of it, because we didn't really have any burgers, any fries.
Right. I think that's kind of where they flourish, if we're being honest.
Right. Breakfast, I don't know how well their game is developed. It's not like something to be like super excited about. But it's definitely not something that's going to be completely awful.
Yeah.
I think for the price point that they have there, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I know a lot of college students like it there. I'm going to give a shout out to my boy Kyle Miller. He's always asking me if I want to go to Carl's. So I'm not really a Carl's guy, but I would eat there when necessary. Like I said, again, sometimes at work when I haven't eaten breakfast, that's where I go because it's cheap. I don't want to spend too much money on breakfast, and I'm kind of just on the run, so I need kind of quick food. I try to eat at home, but it happens. It happens when I don't eat breakfast. I'm starving. I'm like, I'm not going to have the strength to go through the rest of the day. So I just stop by, eat there. It's kind of really for that purpose, in my opinion. But yeah,
man, you know, you bringing up Kyle, just makes me think of something I've noticed about a couple different fast food places, but especially Carl's Jr. I feel like everyone has kind of come up with their own creative name for it. So, you know, you were talking about, he's always saying, let's go to Carl's.
Yeah.
Just cutting out the Jr. And then my friend Jimmy, he's always called it Carlos Jr. I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
But then
oh, man. All right.
It always cracks me up. But yeah. A little story I wanted to tell about how cute I was as a kid. We had this neighbor. Her name was Carol.
Okay.
And
Carol's Jr. Carol's Jr.
That's what I heard. And so, yeah, I thought that it was her restaurant. And I was like, oh, we're going to Carol's. And I tried to say Junior. I was too young to say Junior. So I called it Dunger. Carol's Dunger. Oh, yeah, we're going to Carol's Dunger. So... that was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you could play around with it if you want. Carol's Jr. Okay. Cool. But yeah, Carl's Jr. Boom. Right there in our franchise segment for this podcast. So let's dive into, man, probably the most interesting one we were at today.
That's an experience.
Let's dive into the local restaurant one. Riverside Mongolian Grill.
Yeah.
It's on the side of the river.
Yep. It's right there on 2nd Street up close to, what is that, Van Buren? The bridge out of town.
Yeah, Van Buren. Yep. Yeah. Heading out to Highway 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right there.
I can never remember if that's 20 or 34. I think it might be 34.
No, I'm down.
I don't know.
No, I'm
down. Been here for what, 6 years and I still don't know.
Yeah, that highway can get a little bit tricky, but... that is Highway 34.
34.
Yeah, 34, not right. 20. Yes. 20 is the one that goes to North Albany, so misspoke there. I should know because I was a delivery driver at some point. But, so Riverside Mongolian Grill. Wow. That's my first impression. Like, wow. But not wow and like, this is the greatest food I ever had, but just the experience there was interesting.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What were you feeling going into it, during it, and kind of after it?
You know, I've been there before, and it wasn't the only Mongolian Grill I've been to. And, you know, I remember really loving it, thinking it was really great food. If I'm being honest, it didn't quite meet expectations. I don't know. You go in. It's a pretty cool place. You you go in and they just hand you a bowl. It's this little, what, ceramic bowl, plastic bowl.
Yeah, just like, I wouldn't even say the size of a cereal bowl. I'd just say a little under that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this tiny little, it looks like a small bowl to me, if I'm being honest.
It's not tiny. It's just it's a little undersized.
It's a small bowl.
Yeah.
It's a small bowl. That's all I can say.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a buffet style where you take that bowl, you go grab your ingredients. They have it all set up. You grab all your ingredients and throw it in the bowl. You can stack it as high as you want. I think their only rule is if it's spilling over the sides and touching the counter, I think they don't allow that, just to make sure you're not going a little too far.
Oh, really?
I think.
Okay, because I was definitely doing that.
Oh, okay.
we went with our friend Jerry.
Yeah.
Because we played some basketball with him, and I hadn't seen the guy in a while, so I was like, hey, man, you want to just go eat with us? And yeah, we went. And, I mean, he's been there before, and so I just took his advice. He's like, stack it as high as you can. To me, that was like, as long as it stays in the bowl, I'm good. And I did have some noodles hanging, but...
Yeah, but they're really not picky. I remember asking the waitress how many bowls she'd seen someone eat, and she just kind of waved it off and said, about four. But there's this one guy who comes in, and he stacks it this high, and she probably held her hands, what, was it foot and a half, 2 feet apart? Just for how high she's seen a guy stack the bowl. He stacks it that high and does that twice, so she was saying it'd probably be like having 10 bowls. I don't know how he manages that. Maybe he's an engineer or something, but... Yeah, if you can stack it, then they'll cook it.
Yeah. You definitely have to stack it. Now.
Yeah, after. So, the process, after you do it, all the meats are raw and stuff. You bring it over to this big stone slab that's heated up. I think it's stone. And, yeah, there's a guy there who throws it on, cooks it for you. Throws some teriyaki on if you want it. And, you sit there and watch him cook it right in front of you. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, and then he brings it to you. You sit down. You enjoy that. And then you keep doing that as long as you want. There is, like, a price point difference depending on how big your appetite is. So it's, like, one plate. And I think we were in the lunchtime or dinner time. I don't know what time we came in. But one plate was, like, $12.95, so it is a little spendy. Mm-hmm. But all you can eat is $15 flat. So as many times as you want. Now... When we asked about that, Jerry looked at me and said, I bet you can't eat two of these bowls. and I say, no, trust me, I can. And he wagered that he would pay the meal for me if I did it. Now, the first round, I got to make it. So it was fine. It was well balanced. Enough veggies, enough noodles, enough meat. Boom, fine. You know, a little bit of rice in there too. You know, some water on the side. And then the second time, I'm like, okay, let's just level the playing field. I'll let you choose what I'm going to have on this one. And he just stacked that sucker up with meat.
Yeah.
It's so much meat. Right now, my body is still like, oh, man, we're not having protein anymore until tomorrow. Yeah. And so the food, I'm just going to be honest. The food there, you know, it's good enough to be able to eat it and to enjoy it and have a good time with people. The problem is the price makes it kind of like you're kind of valuing it at, if you're going to go there, you either one, better come in with a big appetite and you're going to eat multiple plates, or two, if you're going to eat one plate, you kind of wish the ingredients were, had a little bit more variety, had a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
I know quality.
I was in particular really hoping for some pineapple, which I didn't see. I was a little sad about that.
Right. So I think the food itself, it's so good, but for the price point, I don't know if the food quality and the price point match.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really the best way to sum up at least our experience there was it's kind of a quality over or quantity over quality kind of restaurant.
Right.
You know, if you're going, if you just want to eat a lot of food, then it's $15 to eat as much as you can shove in your face. But if you want a quality meal, you're going to have to get creative on your own to really craft your proportions and your sauces. They did have a neat little sauce bar with the different tables for cool, like that, like they'll tell you their recommendations, or you can do what you play with it a bit. So if you're someone who likes to play around with that stuff, there's plenty for you. But yeah, you're either going to want to experiment or just be ready to eat a lot.
Yeah. I'm just going to personally say, if you're a college student, it's probably a place to try occasionally.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go there on a weekly basis, maybe not even on a monthly basis. It will dent your bank account if you go there often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it is a place I would say go try at least once because of the experience. I think the experience made it fun to go in there to try it out, you know, and, you know, service was, you know, I would say good. I mean, I think the person that was working there she was telling us she was just had a long shift, just ready to go home, but she was still putting up with us and, you know, would bring us refills and stuff. I know at some point you really wanted water. And,
well, I don't know. That always happens to me. Yeah. I drink water fast.
I didn't
blame her at all.
I got you. But she was awesome, and the cook was just fun to talk to. He spoke Spanish, so Jerry and I were just communicating with him in Spanish. And
I had him convinced I could speak fluent Spanish for a minute, and then he, like, said something to me in Spanish, and I responded in English. Which I can understand. I could understand what he was saying, but it was pretty funny. That little, like, watching him realize that I didn't actually speak Spanish, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, he kind of looked at you like, all right, yeah, I'll cook your food. Don't worry.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, and I mean, when you go in there, I mean, what you're getting is really as much protein, carbs, and veggies you can fill up that bowl with. You get it cooked for you. You're going to get barbecue if you want some, and then you can get a complimentary bowl of rice, it's just rice.
Yeah, nothing about the rice.
And then if you want drinks, you can get drinks. I will say, when I went to the bathroom, because, oh man, that amount of food was just pushing out the next load I had ready to go. It was fine. I mean, it's not in the best condition, but it was clean. It was a clean bathroom. I mean, the floors were a little beat up, but that was okay. They keep their bathrooms clean, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
So overall, I'd say go there for the experience more than for the price worth of the food. It's good food, but I think the experience makes it worth it, because you can also eat outside too, and it's just kind of fun watching the guy cook a little bit. It's just unique.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty funny thing. When Jerry loaded up Miguel's plate, I had him load me one up too, the same way, because I'm not someone to let myself be outdone. And you know, we're both struggling through it, both not really having the easiest time making it through this pile of meat. Just we were both sick of meat by the end of it. But
I was sweating. I had the meat. I went to the bathroom. I looked in the mirror. I had like drops of sweat just coming down my face. I was like, oh, I thought this was not a real thing, but it is. Because my body was just like, why are we eating all this meat? We don't need it right now.
Yeah.
But, it was awesome. I liked it. I thought it was the most interesting place we went to. It just made me go, wow. Like, not because of the food, but because, wow, that was a good experience. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I really enjoyed it.
It was fun.
What'd you see when you... Where was I when you came out of the bathroom, Miguel?
Oh, gosh. So, I come out of the bathroom. I sit down. I'm like, where's Lars? And Jerry just points his finger back to kind of where all the food's at. And I see Lars going for a third plate. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I don't know if he... I told Jerry. He's like, he's not going to do it. He comes back with another plate and... I mean, you finished it, because they do have a policy there where to take food home, they charge you, like, what, $20?
Yeah, it's like the go box bumps it up to $20, I think, right? So
if you were
at the all you can eat and then you want to take it home, then instead of paying $15, you'll pay $20.
Right. So they incentivize you to get the food you can eat and eat it there.
Yeah, they have signs all over and everything, like trying to get you
which not I to appreciate. Waste it. Which I appreciate because of food waste.
Yeah.
I appreciate that a lot. I feel like a lot of restaurants should do that, but I appreciated that, and that even motivated me to eat everything that was put in front of me, because if I didn't, I would be paying those $20. I mean, Jerry did offer to eat the rest for me, but I mean, I didn't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
which is awesome. Okay. But my body's like, was it worth it? Was it really worth it? But yeah, no, that... It was fun. It was fun. But yeah, those were our three stops today. Super awesome. Just a great experience overall. It was fun to spend the day with you, Lars.
Mm-hmm.
And any thoughts about those three places? Actually, which one did you like the most? Let me get that.
Imagine Coffee.
Imagine Absolutely. Coffee. Okay. Yeah.
Just that environment and the quality, you know, it hit everything. You know, it was clean. It was well put together. Friendly customer service. There was a little hiccup on that front. But overall, I really liked the people. And just with that quality, it's always going to be one of my favorite places in Corvallis, I think. It's a good one.
Yeah. Mine was just Riverside Mongolian Grill just because of the experience.
Yeah.
And if I'm being honest, I wish I would have brought my notepad so I can ask a little bit more about the place, where it started, you know, talk to ownership. But I will be calling ownership just to get those questions answered, and whatever info I can get about Riverside Mongolian Grill, I'll share that on the Facebook page too. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait for the next one. Yeah. I can't wait to see where we go next. This was fun. This is fun. Just, I think I just need to be a little bit more careful about being spontaneous about how much food I'm going to eat in one day.
Yeah, I can still feel that a bit. That was a lot of food. It's only been, 2 hours? Something like that?
Yeah.
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 One thing I wanted to say on Carl's Jr. that I thought was really neat, kind of let it fly by, that's my mistake. They actually had a really cool startup story. Carl Karcher is the name of the founder. He was just working these jobs, making like $18 a month working for his uncle or something like that. I was reading it on their website.
Wow.
And then they made the decision, he and his wife made the decision to put all of their savings and take out a loan to buy a hot dog stand.
Right.
And I was just blown away by the amounts of this. So I have it pulled up here. Let me find it. So, yeah, he worked at his uncle's feed and seed store for $18 per week. This was in, 1938, I think it says.
Wow.
And that's 12-hour days, 6 days a week for $18 a week. And that's just nuts to me. But then they put their entirety of savings, which was $15 cash. That's what they had saved up. And they took out a $311 loan borrowed on their 1941 Plymouth Super Deluxe. Not sure what that is, but
I'm not sure what that is either.
$311 loan. But where this gets really cool, you know, that puts it into perspective how much the money's worth at that time. You know, $15 is their life savings, $311, and they're buying a hot dog stand and starting a business. Well, the first day's sales totaled $1,475. So that's just in their very first day's sales. They almost made back their savings on that. I don't know if it's profits or just sales or what.
Wow, yeah.
But that just really struck me. And you can see how, you know, this guy, when he died, he must have been a multimillionaire, if not a billionaire. And that's really cool how just right from the start they found that success.
Yeah, but look at the company now. I mean, they have not only Carl's Jr., but they have Hardee's now, who both make over $1 billion a year each. And that's what $15 of savings and a 300 and something loan on your car can get you, you know. It's just that risk. And that is a cool story. That is something about franchises, that even though their quality isn't always the best, but the story of how they got there and how they're so big now, man, those are awesome. Those are awesome. But moving forward, Lars, that's the end of those segments, but we will be back. And Lars, what can we expect next? What's next?
Yeah, we haven't really talked about what the next restaurants are going to be. There's one place I have in mind. It's this food cart downtown. Sells Hawaiian food. We're going to try to make it there sometime soon. I really like the people there, and they could really use some support right now. So whatever we can do about that, I think would be really valuable to them. And just a couple places we've been hearing about from friends that we're excited to check out. But yeah, every other week, check in, and we're going to see how we can grow this and see what kinds of places we can go experience and try to fill in those categories. Check out their franchises, local and miscellaneous.
Yeah, and also, if you guys have any suggestions about where we should go, places we need to try out, you know, I know there's, you know, a lot of new restaurants opening up in town. And, I mean, what's that new one next to Winco? Taco Voir.
Oh, yeah. Vore, I think is how they call it. Or, no, Taco Voir, like carnivore.
Taco Voir, right. And if you guys have any suggestions, if you guys just want to, you know, give feedback, you know, tell us where to go next, you know. You guys can email us at BieberBitesCorvallis@gmail.com. So it's all one word. There's no periods in between, nothing. Just all lowercase. That's, again, BieberBitesCorvallis@gmail.com. And just feel free to share your guys' thoughts, share where we should head next, and also check out our Facebook page. You can just look up Bieber Bites and it'll come up. But if it doesn't come up, just type in Bieber Bites Corvallis, mm-hmm. and you should see our Facebook page there. Now, also, we are planning on releasing multiple social media outlets. Those are still pending. More information will most likely come on our next podcast. But for now, Facebook is the way we're getting plugged in. So shoot us a message, drop a comment, you know, things will be uploaded there. And for now, that's what we're rolling with. That's what we're sticking with. We're hoping to use different platforms. Also, we'll be using the Anchor platform. So Anchor is a free podcast app, but it does extend to other platforms like Apple, like Google, all that stuff. That was a little weird. our computer just randomly turned on. We will be on those platforms as well. It's just going to take a few weeks for approval, a few weeks of just getting the kinks out. You know, this is our first episode, so we're working through some stuff. But for now, check us out there. Again, BieberBitesCorvallis@gmail.com, and also check out our Facebook page. You know, and we hope to, you know, see some feedback. You know, we hope to, you know, see you guys, you know, see that what you guys think, see what, you know, your reactions to this podcast is. And if you guys want to ask questions, ask away too. You know, we're happy to answer those. And that's just kind of the end of our segment today. Lars, do you want to add anything before we wrap this up?
I have one last shout out. Okay. Back in that trip to Little Morocco, the girl sitting next to us was our friend Gabby Zott. And she called dibs on being our first fan. So I just want to give a shout out to Gabby for being our first fan.
That is true. Gabby, thank big you, shout Gabby. Out to you. She was actually very excited when we threw out the suggestion to her to do this podcast. So, yeah. Hey.
Honestly, it might not have happened if she wasn't so excited.
Yeah, she actually motivated us in a sense, too. She was like, oh, yeah, I totally listen to that. You know, I'll be your first one, you know. So, Gabby, thanks. Thanks for the support. It's happening. It's happening right now. So, appreciate that. And, guys, again, leave feedback. Keep checking us out. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. We'll be excited to share, you know, multiple food places as time goes on, you know. We're excited about that. And, you know, we also plan on doing things just not also food related. You know, we also plan on doing, you know, food tours, you know, food challenges, different stuff. But right now, as a starting point, this is where we're at. So thanks for listening, guys. Once again, I'm Miguel Morales, joined here by Lars Gunderson. And I hope you guys have an awesome week. Take care and go Biebs.
Go Biebs.